My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Thus begins Mary's song, also known as the Canticle of Mary, and probably more popularly, as Nicole just told us, the Magnificat. It proclaims one of the most important messages in all of Scripture. The famous scholar E. Stanley Jones has called it the most revolutionary document in the world. I defy you to find a commentary on this passage that doesn't quote E. Stanley Jones. William Barclay, my favorite, has called it a bombshell. I believe that we have heard this beautiful text sung, and very well, thank you very much, so many times. We have read it, and the poetry just sits good with us. It gives me the sense of peace. But we've had it read to us so many times over the years that we tend to forget how important this message was and is. Now, the fact that it's Mary singing it is odd and unusual enough. A peasant girl, probably around 14, of no special place or importance, not even a citizen of Rome, thoroughly marginalized in her own culture. And from Nazareth, a city so insignificant that it wasn't even on the first century maps. Or as my dad would have said, if you win first prize, you win a free week in Nazareth. Second prize, 2 weeks in Nazareth. And yet this young pregnant girl gives voice to a song which will speak through the ages. Now, we aren't told exactly why God chose Mary, but we can infer from what she says and from what scriptures tell us. We need to take a step back and listen to her reaction. You know, when the angel first came to her, it said, "Hail, O blessed one," or "a favored one, the Lord is with you." And then gave her this surprise news that she would bear a son. And her reaction, the scripture says, was at first fear and confusion. "Well, how can this be?" she said to the angel. "I'm not married." And the angel assured Mary of two very important things. One, this will be the activity of God's own Holy Spirit. And two, with God, nothing is impossible. And upon hearing those two affirmations, her response sort of changed into one of acceptance and obedience. And she responded, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it happen as you have said." God chooses Mary because she was willing to completely trust his plan, to wholly give herself over to what God wanted her to do. Odd as it may sound, she was humble, and we know she had a heart for God. And the affirmation of the angel, you can almost see as her song goes on, her confidence grows and her faith deepens. She recalled the promises God made to his people, Israel, and realized that all these prophecies that we've waited for all these years, they're about to come true. And I think Mary was very smart. She realized the identity of the child she would bear and the dawning of a new age that he would bring in. So what is the message, and why is it so revolutionary? Because God is about to turn the world upside down. God is about to take the values by which people lived in those days and completely turn them around. Mary's song expresses what we call a reversal of values. There is no room in the kingdom of God for the proud. There is no room in the kingdom of God for those who flaunt and abuse their power. And there is no room in the kingdom of God for those who are so self-indulgent with their riches that they ignore those in need. There is room, however, for the humble, the obedient, the just, and the devoted, for those willing to hear God's invitation and then respond, "Let it be as you have said. Let it happen according to your will." This beautiful song affirms God's capacity to act in God's own time. It celebrates God's particular justice and mercy, God's greatness and faithfulness. It affirms that timeless covenant between God and his faithful ones. And it does one more thing. It comes as a beacon in the night. It was a message for a very dark and dangerous time in which Mary lived. It was as if God saying, I see your plight. I know you're being oppressed. And it's time. I will lift up those who have been put down. I will send the rich away empty-handed. I will take care of the widows and the orphans and the lowly and the lost. I will feed the hungry. It is God's nature to deny the proud their intentions in favor of the common and the steadfast. It was a revolutionary message in that day, a message of hope and of light to a people who were otherwise just existing and living, I think, in a lot of fear day by day. It wasn't revolutionary in the sense that it was going to spark some violent reaction. It was revolutionary because it stood as a prophecy of what was to change when that very child she carried would grow up to preach and live out that message of light. Now, as for us, when that same Holy Spirit speaks to us, our hearts are hopefully turned upside down as well. We are hopefully humbled and given the assurance that God is very good. And we are expected to be as well. Look at those verbs that Mary used when she was talking about God. Regards, respects, exalts, feeds, helps, and remembers his people. We can do that. We can be that. Every time we choose grace over judgment, when we choose integrity and dignity over prejudice and small-mindedness, every time we really listen to a person's story, every time we sacrifice our own time to meet a need of someone else, every time we choose the high road and the moral ground, every time we are reversing the questionable values that our world has come to accept as just fine, we are bringing that beacon of light. We are bringing God's light to some dark place. And we are claiming that justice is so important and so the way we need to live this in these days. We are announcing the kingdom and the incredible beauty of a plan that could only come from a merciful God and his perfect Son. Now, we have mentioned that this third Sunday is called Joy Sunday. What I hear in Mary's song, first, fear and hardship. I imagine Joseph, too, was a little on edge for a while. But in that song, we hear of a joy that she could never have imagined. It touched her all the way to her very soul, I'm sure, to be deemed worthy to bear the long-awaited Messiah must have given her a joy beyond exclamation. And to this day, she is honored for her role in this plan of salvation. And don't you know that National Geographic devoted their December issue to Mary, the most powerful woman in the world? Something to think about. I haven't read it yet. I was writing a sermon, but I'll let you know. But joy and light, such compatible great themes for the day and for us this whole season. Now remember, we receive these gifts. We are expected to be very generous in sharing them. I want to close with a reading from a gift I received this Advent called Circle of Grace, a Book of Blessings, and this is for you. Hail, O blessed ones, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you who bear the light in unbearable times, who testify to its endurance amid the unendurable, who bear witness to its persistence when everything seems in shadow and in grief. Blessed are you, in whom the light lives, in whom the brightness blazes, your heart a chapel, an altar where in the deepest night can be seen the fire that shines forth in you. In unaccountable faith, in stubborn hope, in love that illumines every broken thing. May your story magnify our Lord this season. Amen.